So Brian, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, like Ellen said, my name is Brian Toth. I'm the superintendent of schools for the Bellwood Annis School District. This is my fifth year as superintendent, approximately 25th year in education. So the role, I tell you what, in a small school district, you just wear many, many hats. And there's a lot that I do as a superintendent of a small district that others don't have to. But I tell you what, I have a lot of good, hardworking people with our district. And that's what brings us to Paskey. When you talk about hard work, when we had initially looked at this, I was looking at change in our high school. We had a lot of good kids. We had successful students. And our teachers are good teachers. But we needed to move forward. We weren't keeping pace with the changing education world around us. So we had retirement at our high school and administration. The principal retired, and that provided an opportunity for us to look at how we would restructure the administration, which we did. And we were able to hire a principal, but also hire an academic principal to more support our instructional and student-related academic activities. So looking at that, when Paskey became available and how it was presented to me, and the overall initiative actually was presented to me by Jerry Zahorchak, our Secretary of Education, on a telephone call. And I was interested in what he had to say. He gave me the contact information, and I contacted him, got additional information, and felt that this was something that would benefit our students, benefit our teachers, and overall then benefit the community.
That's very interesting. Now, what kind of benefit did you see? You had it in your mind, a vision for what you wanted, where you saw Bellwood Annis go.
Well, number one, Ellen, is that we needed to focus on student achievement. We needed to focus on instructional practices. And I always believe that there are a lot of things that kids bring into schools today that we don't have control over. We cannot go in and change their home life for them. We cannot go in and change other social situations in which they are placed in outside of the school. But the time that we do have them in school, we need to maximize that time to work with them as best as possible. And because of the varied situations that kids come from today, we need to look at changing our instructional practices to better engage those students in learning in our classrooms.
What kind of practices do you see now as you walk in and go around, and I know you're always there?
Yes.
What kind of changes and practices, teacher practices, do you see in school?
As opposed to when I first got to Bellwood and would walk through the high school, at that time there was a lot of straight lecture. Teachers standing in front of the classroom, kids, and you have the classic kids, they're leaning on their hands, they have their head on the desk, you know, etc. Typical high school kids. Not engaged, not active learners. That couldn't go on. Truthfully, after I got to Bellwood and I saw what was happening, I'd have to say that their success at that time had to do with they just had good kids and parent support that supported kids to do well, and so that's why they did well. It wasn't that there was a whole lot going on within the school to support that. So we needed to change it. So that's what I saw at that time. What do I see now? I'll walk through the halls now, and you see students working together in groups. You see teachers more interactive with students. You see them working with students, whether it be in the group of 3 to 5 or in a one-on-one situation while the other kids are also working in groups. The teachers are, again, they're very hardworking for us. And they were always that way, but just redirecting their energies to work with kids in a different manner.
So it sounds like teachers have learned more through the PLN courses that they were taking, through the instructional support that they're getting from their coaches, through the mentoring that the coaches are getting. Teachers are changing what they're doing, and they're learning more. They're learning a little bit differently.
Exactly, they are. They're, I'd even say, too, with our teachers, not only are they learning more as far as instruction, but they're now planning with a much broader purpose as far as their lessons are concerned. They're intentionally planning ways in which students can use their skills in communication, and whether it's speaking or writing or reading, as well as their mathematics skills, to apply them to practical situations.
Hmm. Now, how did you roll this out so that you had this vision, this theory of change in your head, and that you needed to roll it out so that you knew the teachers needed to shift a little bit in their thinking and in their practicing? So what did you do, in addition to getting a new staff of administrators, mm-hmm. how do you meet with your administrators? How do you plan for these changes to take place? And then how do the administrators communicate to your instructional coaches for them to carry out this joint planning?
Okay. Well, first of all, with an initiative as big as PASCI is, and how much change there would be in our whole environment in the high school, whether it be teachers or administrators, parents, students, etc., I was the one that is going to make the call and say, this is very worthwhile, and we need to go after that. However, I know, too, I'm not going to force that on our team of administrators. There's two groups that I'd say that I had to work with initially. One is our school board. I do have 9 bosses, so I need to work with all of them and keep them up to date. So all the information I had at the time, I made sure that they had. And I just let them know initially that this is something that we are looking at. It's not definite yet, but we're going to be talking about it. Then was our high school administration. And with one brand new administrator and another administrator in a brand new position, they're good people, they're intelligent people, but of course anything new sometimes you're kind of tentative with. But I reassured them with this initiative that if something were to happen, because we don't know, maybe it wasn't a fit for us, what will we do? I said, then you approach the people in the initiative and talk about that and see if something can be worked out, or maybe it just isn't a fit and we wouldn't be partaking in it. Once their fears were alleviated in that respect, and then the other concern they had was, well, I'm going to lose my best teachers in the classroom, because those teachers that we have as coaches now were actually what our own teachers said were the best in English and math. So another part of that was, okay, if we can't find a quality substitute, that would be another roadblock to us. For us, though, with those fears alleviated, it was agreed that we would proceed, and I kept the board abreast of our application for it and where we stood along the way, as well as our administrators. The next avenue that we took was, of course, part of this is we had to talk to our union representatives. So I talked to our president first, gave him the documentation, asked him to look at that, saying, you know, part of the requirement is that we get buy-in from the union. We needed to have a memorandum of understanding with them. So I wanted to make sure that he knew we weren't trying to pull a fast one on, that everything was up front, this was going to benefit the teachers, and we did have things in that memorandum that went outside of our current contract. but they went outside in a way that the teachers participating, it benefited those teachers. And of course, I let him talk to the teachers impacted first, the English and math teachers. He asked me then to come and talk to them. So I did. So I went and I told them. I said, this is an opportunity we have. They had a lot of the same concerns as the administration. What if it isn't a fit for us? What if I don't like being a coach? And basically I told them, you know, at that point we can work it out. I always tell my folks going out to any conference or training, I said, if you come back with at least one idea to implement, it was successful. And we were in other state initiatives, such as the Pennsylvania Achievement Gap effort in our middle school, page one. We're moving, we're the only school in Blair County that didn't have all-day kindergarten. Next year, we're going to have that. So those are new ventures for us as well, and with similar issues. What if? Well, if you never take that first step forward, you're never going to find out if that what if was ever there. So the teachers agreed and agreed with the administration on who should be the coaches. So once we got the formal approval then from PDE, then we went through the board motions and such to interview and hire the long-term subs and appoint the coaches, did the job descriptions, had those board approved as well, and we're ready to move forward. So, you know, I have to say, you know, at the start, was there a lot of apprehension? Well, sure. It's something that was brand new to us, at least. Not that coaching was brand new, because there's different varieties of it all over the place. But it was new to us, and it was a change in how we would do business. So they were a little concerned with that, but I tried to keep them as positive as we could. And then once we started the trainings, boy, it was all downhill from there, because they saw the impact on the classrooms, the impact on the kids, the impact on the staff. And in fact, the teachers that were in the first round of PLN training were so positive with it, they went back and other teachers wanted to know, how do I get into that training? So it was catchy. It was catchy.
That is a great way to do that. It really sounded like you set the stage. You set the stage to have a shared vision. And then you actually shared that vision with your staff. I mean, you realized that you needed to work together, that you were trying to collaborate, and you understood how to collaborate. But I appreciate your honesty that there were some concerns in the beginning. And so my question is, did you actually face some obstacles that you needed to deal with at that point? I know that you said that there were some apprehensions going into it, but once you were into it, and that's after you approached the board and the board understood, and so you built awareness in that, the board approved it, and all the steps that you took, the board, the union, the teachers, then the actual instructional coaches, but at some point in this line, did you face some obstacles that needed to be addressed? And if so, how did you? What are they? And then how did you address them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think our biggest obstacles that we were looking at were, one, with the union memorandum of understanding, would that be okay? Once that was signed, that was a sigh of relief there, because I knew that was not going to be an issue now. Even at the board meeting where we approved the coaches and the job descriptions and the memorandum, one of our board members who reads everything made a comment that said, I just want to know if the high school folks understand I read this and there's a heck of a lot of training that's involved. Well, I read it. I knew there was a lot of training, and I was ready to commit to that myself, because I felt that when you have something this big that's going to impact your high school or any building that you would have, if you're the leader, sometimes you go through it with them. So I had made that comment at that meeting that, well, the high school is just not going to do it alone. I'm going to be with them. We're going to do it together, and we're going to take a look at anything that might come up. And we did. After that was approved, I would say the next biggest obstacle was actually taking what we were learning in the PLN courses and getting those implemented in the classroom. That in conjunction with our coaches learning their role. What is a coach? What am I supposed to do? Because even though we have a job description, you know, there's a lot of things that are in a job description, but there's other things when you're actually on the job that you have to do. That's why you put in the part that says, and other duties as assigned. But those two areas with our coaches working with the teachers, hand in hand and almost growing together is what it was, really helped the teachers feel comfortable with implementing that. We reassured the teachers. They thought, well, we're going to be evaluated on these things, and they're going to hammer us if we don't do it right. And that was a big thing because they want to do things, like I said, they're hardworking teachers, they're very intelligent people, they want to do it right. And we said, don't worry, we understand this is a change, and we're not going to hammer you for something that, you know, we might think is not right, you think is right. We're here to work that and communicate back and forth is how to improve. And that's the goal, is how do we improve one step at a time.
And you're also saying something that I think is critical, and that is support from the top down and the bottom up. So you're saying that you're in this together with the staff, and one of the things that is very obvious to Paskey is that you as the superintendent and your administration, your administrators, and your coaches, all of you go to everything. You come as a team, you support each other as a team. Talk about that for a minute and tell us, why is that so important for a school to have a team to support each other?
I look at this team a lot like I feel on a team with my school board, too. It's what everybody hears, you need to hear it together. And then it's not only hearing it, it's talking about it, because what filters through my ears may be a little different than somebody else's ears. And then as a team together and attending all of the trainings together, we are able to bounce those off of each other and say, did you hear this? Is this what you understood? And then get clarification from each other. So I think as a result of that, we really ended up with some very strong action plans for the district, because if you're going to do something, you want to plan it out ahead of time. You know, we don't plan this as we go. We work hard at it, and I think that the communication that we've had through the trainings was very key, because I got a chance to interact with some teachers in a different way than what they normally see me too. They saw a different side of the superintendency, that the superintendent is still a teacher at heart, period. That the superintendent has a sense of humor and likes to have fun too, because we have fun at these trainings. That I can be flexible, that I can provide support to them when they need it, that if it's something that's going to foster student achievement and it's for the kids, they're not afraid at this point to stop by the office and ask if it can be done. And I think before this initiative, that wouldn't have happened. Likewise, our same teachers involved with this, with our high school administration, probably wouldn't have stopped by and asked them, you know, to stop by a classroom and take a look at what I'm doing. Give me some ideas of what you think. And now that's opened up. And they have no problem doing that, knowing it's not going to be a negative strike on an evaluation, but it's a collaboration of continual improvement.
That's why it works. That's why it works. So it sounds like you've seen changes in collaboration, a much more collaborative environment, changes in teacher practices that have really impacted student achievement. You've noticed the support from every layer, from every level. It seems like you've really taken the idea that says everyone is a leader, everyone is a learner, and everyone is in a community of practice. And so that really is a very comprehensive picture of Bellwood Antis, which is obviously how it's working. So it's working so well now. We're in the third year of a three-year initiative. You talked about action plans and how you plan ahead. So what's on your mind must be sustainability. What are you going to do? What are some of the ideas that you are thinking about, that you've discussed, that you've actually tried to implement or will be implementing for helping sustain this model, this instructional coaching, mentoring, professional development model in Bellwood Antis?
Well, part you said, Alan, it's professional development. So right now, we're already taking a look at how we have our professional development structured. We have been able to get extra time from our teachers in our contract. I'm not afraid to ask for that. And so far, the union folks have been cooperative and said, yes, we understand that. So the last two contracts, we got more time from them. And we're talking a total of about 3 additional days, full days. So it's looking at one is how are those now broken up? So how can we structure it so that teachers are available to meet with coaches and administrators, et cetera, and continue that flow? Looking at our coaches, because as you're well aware, the funding comes in to fund those coaches. It's how can we continue that, and I see that as probably the bigger thing than the professional development. I think we can work that out with time, and I've already committed to the high school as well that if they need to call in subs for teams of teachers to free up a day, half a day with coaches or working on professional development in regards to coaching, go ahead and do it. No problem with that. But in looking at the coaches themselves, it's how can we creatively look at that? Well, now everybody, I've been asked about accountability block grant money. Well, okay, there are some funds there. Next year, like other places, we'll have full-day kindergarten. Right now, we're not using ours for full-day kindergarten, and I understand that some districts are using all their money to go into full-day kindergarten. So they just can't pull that back. But I think reality has it, too, that might not be here in another few years. That might go away, similar to Project 720. Change in governor could mean that goes away. So how do you do something that you have control over and you want to make it successful? Well, I'm talking with a colleague of mine in another district where I also worked. We had some interns. And these were intern teachers. They were usually working on a master's degree, usually had come back to the education field because they had been in another field and wanted to teach. Worked with a couple universities, and we would hire them as interns where the regular teacher would be with them for the first full month, and then once they get their intern certificate, they can be in charge of the class. So right now we're looking at seeing where can we develop some partnerships with universities that would be very inexpensive or cost effective, whichever sounds better, and be able to free up the coaches to do that. Another avenue is looking at the coaches' potential teaching schedules. Right now, they're 100% coaches. Is there a way to rejuggle those schedules that would free up some time? If we couldn't do the internship partnership, is there a way that we could free up even a half day? I think that's possible. This particular year, because we're finishing this third year of the PASCI initiative, we opted not to apply for the Classrooms of the Future funds. Well, next year, and hopefully that funding I anticipate is going to be there, we'll apply for those. So how can we work those funds into coaching as well? Also, and lastly, this is something more unique to us, is that we'll have another administrative retirement next year. Well, as you know, you're an administrator there 35 years, you're at the top of the salary level. So with a new person coming in who's not going to make as much money initially, how can you free that money up a little bit to go in to support the coaches? So we have a few different things, and I know that something I'm not afraid to do as well is seek other sources, whether they're foundation awards, whether they're grant awards. We've been successful enough in the last 4 years to get funding for personnel that's freed up money to do other things, and we'll look at those sources too. Now, those aren't as solid as some of the other things I mentioned, but we're working to try and keep that going. I would think at the worst for us, the board's been very supportive of teachers working on curriculum, teachers working on instructional strategies in the summer. We have done that annually now, where we pay teachers to come in. And their thoughts are, well, if we do this in the summer then, and my thoughts are the same, is that then those teachers aren't out of classes during the school year. Because I think that part of the teachers being with the kids is very important, and we don't want to rock that boat at all. So we bring them in the summer, and they're paid, and then they're with the kids. So I think part of that, too, can be some of that work as well. And we're looking at, or at least I'm looking at, all of our current resources. Where are different funds coming in that we have? They may be unique, they may be similar to other districts, and then how can we reallocate those existing funds?
You have some creative suggestions on leveraging funds, which I think is that's what you need to do. And hopefully your voice will be carried to Dr. Zohorshak and the governor, and that's where we're trying to go. And having the support from a superintendent especially is very powerful. So, and I know that you are our emissary of good news and our cheerleader, so we thank you for that. What have you learned as a superintendent about instructional coaching, mentoring, and professional development? And if it wasn't a new learning for you, how have you applied this learning as you go forward to help Bellwood Antis move forward?
Well, as far as coaching is concerned, the way and structure of this initiative was new for me. That wasn't something I had been involved with before. And just that my work in previous districts was not, didn't expose me to the coaching aspect. I think that overall, in looking at how the coaches are there to support instruction, that's very critical, that message is there with not only with the coaches but with the teachers. And I've supported that in saying that those coaches are not there to evaluate you. They're not doing an observation. We're doing this to support you to continually improve. And change is always continuous improvement. That's change, and it's going to continue to change. And that's one thing that I reflected back upon, is that even though I thought about it before, what's one way that I was always refreshed as an educator? And it's usually when I went back for additional schooling, went back for another certificate or different degree, or was involved in some training that was long-term and continuous and gave you goals to come back and implement the training, reflect on it, come back to other trainings, and improve. So like I said, change is continuous improvement. Instruction is always going to change, so that means we need to continuously improve it. Myself, I've modeled the strategies for the staff. If I've presented to the staff, I've tried out some of the different strategies, as far as whether it be a text rendering or a simple do now. I've done that with the high school kids too. Even at graduation, I've said to them, well, you've heard different before, during, and after. You've heard this before. How many of you? All the kids' hands are up in the air. They've heard it before. We're going to try this. So they know I know what it means. They know I know how to implement it. So I know that when I'm going around, I know what I'm looking for. And the teachers are well aware of that. And it's a pleasure to go in. They say, Mr. Toth, we know. You know what this is all about. Here's what we're doing. Stop there. I'm just here to take a look. And I tell you what, the teachers are doing a fabulous job with that this time. Our coaches are very supportive of them and working with them and dealing with the different personalities of teachers. You're dealing with people. And our coaches have great people skills is what it is. And they can judge a situation and really know how to handle that with the teachers. Likewise, our administrators take a look at the same thing. They're great people. I want to say people movers, and they can do a lot to get people going. And they know how to handle each individual situation. So I'm expecting that focus is going to continue and therefore would have improved instruction in the long run at Bellwood Annis.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Brian. Please look for this interview to be posted on our website.
Okay.
You've given great advice for any of our listeners. You've made it clear that one of the reasons Bellwood Annis is so successful and continues to be successful is the support all the way around and the fact that you recognize and appreciate and live the message that continuous learning is learning all the way around. And it's not just the students who are learning, but every level at the school.
Exactly.
So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we look forward to hearing more and more about Bellwood Annis.
Thank you, Ellen.